Obviously, politics front and center to a lot of news stories and conversations we have. One positive aspect about how polarizing we have become is voter turnout has definitely been up over the past couple election cycles, at least nationally. 63.9% of people turned out in the 2024 election, down slightly from 66.6% turning out in the 2020. That may not sound like a lot, but that was the highest voter turnout since 1908 of eligible voters. So people are engaged nationally. I don't know if that is translated locally, and it really should. To chat a little bit more about big elections tomorrow and just generally speaking about local politics and why they're important, Greg Hart is a former DuPage County Commissioner. And Greg, is it safe to say you're going to be the next president of the Village of Hinsdale as you're running unopposed, my friend?
You know, as long as my wife voted for me, John, which I think I should be in good shape for, I will be the president-elect of the Village of Hinsdale tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that, and thank you so much for having me on.
Well, congratulations. A hard-fought campaign against blank. Just kidding. Congratulations.
Haven't been on opposed sides and unopposed. Unopposed is definitely my favorite election cycle thus far.
I'd say that as well. I live close by in Downers Grove. We don't have a mayoral election this year, but we have a hard-fought village council election. And for people that are tuned in, it's a big deal. And I, you know, on both sides, I like when people are tuned in to local elections. They care about them. Greg, what can we do to get more people to focus on local elections like they do national elections?
Well, John, you mentioned it in the run-up about how voter turnout has increased in the November elections, which is a fantastic thing. You know, we have seen some increases at the local level in the April election cycles. Generally, those are around 10%, which is very low. Whoa. And if you think about all of the races that are on your ballot, ranging from your local town mayor down to school board, if you look at your property tax bill when that comes out, you'll notice that near 80 to 90% of what you're paying in property tax goes to local races. If you are in trouble, you know, someone's trying to break into your home, you call your local police department. So, you know, these races should be getting so much attention relative to what they are actually getting. And, you know, so much of the news and the cycle is sucked up by what's going on in Washington, D.C. But it's really the local area and local races that, you know, affect your life on a day-to-day basis. So I think the more that we can get the word out about how important these, you know, village roles are, these school board races are, you know, and wake people up to the fact that this is actually where they're going to be engaging with government, I think that's where we'll see an increase in turnout.
Greg, do we need to move these elections to November?
You know, look, I think each municipality, each state can make that decision on their own. You know, my own personal belief is that whenever we can up voter turnout, that's a positive thing. And clearly people have been and historically have been engaged more in November. The one, you know, opposed side of that is that when you're running in a November cycle, races like governor, president, Congress, they suck up a lot of the news cycle. So that still might not solve the problem for attention on the local races. But anything that we can do to get more people to the polls, I think, is a positive thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big debate in Chicago, because Chicago does it in April and they do it in the two-part system, which drives me crazy. Yep. This is just a personal aside, Greg, because I'm on this train. What do you think about rank choice voting?
You know, it's been tried across the country in some localities. I believe Alaska, for example, was one of the first states to shift to that model. And again, you know, I think it needs to be studied more because it hasn't been widely deployed. My initial gut reaction is that I probably wouldn't think that that would be something that would work positively in Illinois. You know, I think we're already at a point, unfortunately, in our national dialogue, where there's so much lack of faith in government and its institutions, you know, any situation where you might have a situation where someone who did not get the most raw votes might potentially lose to someone just because of, you know, the ranked choice voting system, that concerns me that may actually lead to less faith in the democratic process. But look, it's something to be studied. And, you know, I think especially at a time where gerrymandering is at an all-time high across the country, but you know, no less in Illinois, we need to do things and look at opportunities to make sure that representation is equal across the state. And I know that's been an argument for ranked choice voting. I think you might have some difficulties if you were to implement that here.
Yeah. For me, ranked choice voting gets you more moderate candidates. Everyone has to be broadly appealing to maybe get that second place vote, even if you're not the favorite. And then sometimes you gobble up enough of those and perhaps you end up winning. It's a complicated system, and I didn't mean to throw you off the kilter there.
And to that point, though, I mean, you and I share that as a priority. I think one of the things that has made our national discourse so difficult these days is the fact that, you know, 80% of members of Congress, the election's over in the primary. They don't even have a general election, literally 80%. That leads to people who are on the extremes of either side of the political spectrum getting nominated and winning and representing us. I think, especially coming from a suburban area like you do, John, you know, it's the more moderate message that I think represents the majority of voters. Where I would look to explore how we can navigate that is to, again, get some redistricting reform and look at fair maps. I think that's something we have to look at as a state. It's been looked at before. I know it had some challenges, you know, as it relates to court cases. But if we're going to get more representation for that 70% of the population that I think really defines where most people are at on issues, I would look at finding ways to make our maps fairer, because I think that will achieve the same outcome.
Yeah, 17 congressional districts in Illinois, if I'm not mistaken, and 3 of them are held by the Republicans, 14 by Democrats, if I'm getting my numbers right.
Well, that's correct.
That certainly is not the percentage breakdown of Republicans or Democrats. I think a lot of people would say, okay, we'll do it here in Illinois, but you have to do it in Wisconsin and Iowa. We all have to do it together, Greg, because if one state gerrymanders and it favors one side, then why would one state do it the other way? You see what I'm saying there?
I do. No, and look, it's a national discussion. And again, you know, being in Illinois, it's easy to focus on your own backyard. And we certainly have our challenges when it comes to fair representation and maps. But other states, Texas being one of them, is constantly referenced. And that's on the other side of the political divide. You know, it's not every day where I give kudos to the state of California, but they actually looked at implementing a fair maps initiative. And, you know, they have an independent board that really every 10 years looks at their census data and tries to find ways to make their congressional districts and state ledge districts, you know, fairer. And I think, you know, even though every state isn't without its own challenges, they've had some success at getting more, you know, fair representation in the districts. And I think that's something that we can study here in Illinois.
Greg, I wonder if you've noticed in even local elections, boy, I think 40 years ago, maybe I'm wrong here, but I can't imagine someone running for in DuPage County or Will County in 1983, if I said, did you vote for Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter as a litmus test for whether you could be the mayor or whether you could be a village council. But I can guarantee that nearly every person running on the record now, Republican or Democrat, has to say who they voted for. Was the last election free and fair? Have national politics oozed their way too much into local politics, or are those fair questions?
No, I think I would say that they have. You know, I'm running, for example, without a partisan designation, as everyone in the majority of cases does in these April elections. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. And the reason for that is that the issues you're dealing with, the issue set, are nonpartisan issues. You know, there's the old adage, there's no Republican or Democratic way to pave a pothole. I really believe that holds true. Now, that said, as you mentioned, John, that trend has been changing. That norm has been changing. And I think for 3 April election cycles in a row, we've seen really unprecedented spending from partisan political organizations in our local races. You know, there's a few mayor's races that stand out. You know, Aurora, second largest city in Illinois, being one of them. Richard Irvin, who, as many remember, ran for governor on the Republican side, is running for re-election and facing a really stiff competition from John Lausch. I think the Democratic Party of Illinois has spent north of $150,000 to defeat Richard Irvin in that nonpartisan race. And you know, the same can be said in other cities on both sides, Orland Park and Arlington Heights. We're seeing massive amounts of spend. And I think whenever that happens, you have to pause and question whether or not that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in politics, and you wonder, as you're saying, where it comes from state or outside forces. That's been an issue that has certainly gone up. I don't know. I'm on two sides on this sort of thing, because I'm in favor, generally speaking, of having a village council where maybe I don't even know the parties of the people that are on there, and maybe it doesn't say it on the ballot, even though in the ballot I filled out last week in my early vote it did. And I'm fired. I think villages would benefit from having people of both parties on the council. I don't think they need to be slates on them. But there aren't national, like when you talk about the 2020 election, I don't know. I don't know if I want someone on the village council that without any evidence says that the election was rigged. There are sometimes issues, right? I struggle with that, Greg.
No, and I think it's a fair thing to say. And, you know, whenever I'm asked about that issue, I answer it declaratively. Of course, it was not rigged. I think it was a free and fair election. But the point being is that any question that a citizen wants to level at their elected representatives, no matter what the office is, if they have an R or a D after their name, that's all fair. I have no problem with citizens holding their elected representatives accountable on issues that matter to the job or don't matter to the job. That's their prerogative as voters. The question becomes when you try to politicize races or nationalize races, the focus on the individual becomes lesser than the focus on the party. And I'm someone who believes that we should always look at the individual. Sure, you know, who they choose to associate with matters. But in many times, especially at the local level, that's not the full picture. And that's why, I would caution against the broader involvement in local politics from, you know, the national political parties. But look, John, I'm not jaded. I know in the last 10 years, we've had a national shift where, you know, the national trends really influence every race up and down the ballot. I ran for DuPage County Board Chairman, which is our, you know, what we call the president of the county board back in 2022. And I dealt with those same national headwinds, even though I think it didn't characterize me or my candidacy. So I'm not under the illusion that doesn't happen. I just think we'd all be better off if we looked at the individual and asked our preferred candidates hard questions rather than just assuming they're one way or the other based on the letter after their name.
This is going to sound like such a basic question for you, Greg, but maybe it's something that needs a finer point on it. What do local governments do? I know that seems like so basic, but like I think that like local governments are like the grout that holds the tile together. You don't notice it when it does its job, but you notice it when it doesn't. So help us paint a picture why we should care tomorrow.
Well, look, I can speak for the role that I'm planning to fill. And obviously, I'm running to be the mayor of Hinsdale. And in my prerogative, I have the authority to set the agenda on everything ranging from your police department to your fire department, to your public works, which could deal with the roads that you drive on every day or the storm water system that keeps your property from flooding. All of those issues roll up to your local government. And the same thing goes for economic development. One thing that I'm seeing, and I know you mentioned you're in Downers Grove. I know you've dealt with this in your downtown, and Hinsdale is starting to deal with this, is how do we want to approach development for the next 25 to 50 years? You know, historically, the suburbs have been quiet, sleepy bedroom communities, especially those along the train lines. But especially post-COVID, the people who live in the suburbs, they're demanding more and wanting different uses out of their downtown. I am in the process of doing a village survey in Hinsdale because I really firmly believe that, yes, while I do have ideas that I want to bring to this job, some of the best ideas I might get might come from the people themselves. So I wanted to hit the ground running, and I asked people, even before I've been sworn in, what their priorities are and what they want to see out of downtown Hinsdale. Only less than 50% of people who live in Hinsdale, and I would imagine it's similar across DuPage County and the collar counties, only 50% commute to the city every day, right? So that means more people are staying home, living their day-to-day lives in the suburbs, and that means that they want city-quality restaurants out here. They may want some mixed use, and, especially if you're somewhere of the baby boomer generation looking to downsize, but you don't want to move away from your grandkids, you might want some different living options. And those are all things your local government will have to look at. And I personally am excited about that component because it's a real opportunity to, as I've said, make the suburbs cool, really make them an attractive place for new investment and new residents. And I think that's what is on the ballot come tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that the suburbs are where, I shouldn't disparage the city at all. I lived in the city for many years and loved Chicago and still do, of course, work here 5 or 6 or 7 days a week. But I do feel like you get a more moderate sense of what's happening in the suburbs as opposed to maybe the further ends of each side of the parties. And you're right, it is about economic development and all sorts of things. Greg Hart, I could talk to you for a while about this. I hope you'll come back to the program, either join John Williams or myself, especially since you're a U of I graduate, I'm reading, which is good news, ILL, INI. I wish our team had done a little better there in the tournament. But Greg, I just got to ask you one last thing. You know, you're a management consultant. You're well spoken. You were the first millennial on the DuPage County Board. You running for Congress one day?
The answer right now is if my career takes me and my service career takes me to different heights down the road, of course, that's something I would look at. But I can't have that opportunity unless I do a good job as mayor of Hinsdale. You know, this is the community I grew up in. It's where I'm raising my three kids along with my wife. And the ability to leave your mark on your hometown is something that really excites me. So my 100% focus and attention is what I could do at the local level. And that's where I'm focused. But, you know, we'll see what happens down the road. But I'm here for at least 4 years, and I'm looking forward to serving my hometown.
Well, you won't be unopposed if you run for Congress. I will say that.
That's fair. That's fair.
And in fairness, we have to give your opponent fair time. So we'll have about 11 minutes of silence a little bit later on in the program. Greg, it was good to meet you. Great to have you on WGN Radio. I hope you come back again, okay?
Thank you for having me, John. I appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
And vote tomorrow, right? That's the big message, or early
That's
vote today.
Right. Get out and vote. We want to break those turnout records, but no matter how you do it, whether it's in person or early voting, just make sure you get to the polls.
And congratulations, with an asterisk, assuming it goes well tomorrow, not some write-in candidate insurgency. Thanks, Greg. Take care.
Talk soon. Take care. Bye.
Boy, interesting conversation. Well-spoken young man, I will say. Maybe a bright future ahead for Greg.